Well, good morning. Welcome to the second Sunday of Easter. I hope sometime during the season of Lent or of Holy Week, especially Easter, you had an encounter with the risen and living Lord. I pray that something about that time for you was truly a blessing. I'm Steve Canizzaro. I'm one of the associate pastors here, and our Jamie Brown, our senior pastor, is away with his family on vacation. And so we're happy for him to have a break. This morning, we continue our sermon series. If you remember, before Holy Week, we were in the Gospel of John. And so today, this morning, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Before we begin, let's briefly recall this scene. If you were with us or you remember, we were reading or studying the story of Jesus healing a man born blind in chapter 9. The man was brought before the rulers of Israel and asked to explain what happened. And you may remember that as he testified to what Jesus had done, he was cast out of the temple. And Jesus came and found him and revealed himself to the man. And so now this story continues. The setting's the same. The characters are the same. Jesus is probably in or near the temple. He's addressing the Pharisees as well as whoever is there listening, the crowd, possibly the man whom he had healed. And he's telling them this brief parable that you just heard read to point out the difference between false shepherds and true shepherds. In the reading that you heard from Ezekiel, God is speaking through the prophet Ezekiel to say, look, those whom I've entrusted to be the shepherds of the people of Israel have not been faithful, and therefore they've taken advantage of the people. And if you listen to that passage, it's pretty condemning of their behavior, and therefore the sheep of Israel have scattered. And through Ezekiel, the Lord agrees or says, I'm going to send my Messiah to come and be the true shepherd. And so Jesus in this moment is taking the opportunity to explain what has happened and what is going to happen. He uses the shepherd motif because throughout the scripture, the people of Israel are referred to as the sheep or the flock of God, the one true shepherd. And the main idea is simply this. Jesus is teaching them to recognize the true shepherd, to hear his voice, and to follow him. So that's the main idea. If you're taking notes, it's recognize the true shepherd, hear his voice, and follow him. Well, how do you do that? And he tells them, well, you have to beware of thieves and robbers. You have to recognize the true shepherd and hear his voice. And you have to follow him to accomplish his purpose and his glory. So we will begin with the first thing, beware of thieves and robbers. Look at verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Well, first, let me take a moment to describe a sheepfold. This was probably like a pen or a place set apart to keep the sheep, and it was most likely attached to a building, a house. Imagine a village of buildings and homes all clustered together, and in between, there might be a high wall, and they've created a door, and they put the sheep in the pen overnight. And in fact, they may ask, hire or have one of the children keep the door so the sheep are kept safe. And for some, there may be more than one fold of sheep. Some families may have all put their sheep together in that pen. And so that's what Jesus is referring to. The door is actually the way the shepherd and the sheep enter, and anyone who enters another way is a thief or a robber. In other words, anyone who's coming in through the back entrance or crawling over the wall or under the fence doesn't have the sheep's best interest in mind. They are there for their own benefit. They intend to harm or steal the sheep. And so what does that mean to you and me? Well, the sheep, of course, are the people of Israel. They're often portrayed as the flock of God. In the door, Jesus will say in the next verse, "I'm the door." He's starting to explain to us what his relationship is to his people. And the thieves and robbers, well, in this case, they are the Pharisees. The Pharisees have done exactly what was said in the reading from Ezekiel. They have tried to control and manipulate things. They have adhered to the law while ignoring the work of God right in front of them. They have actually robbed Jesus of his identity, his honor and praise. Do you remember? They slandered Jesus. "This man is not from God. This man is a sinner. We do not know where he comes from." They robbed Jesus of his authority and his identity as the Son of God. And they robbed the man born blind of his identity. You might remember they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. So you imagine Jesus at this scene is realizing this is exactly what was prophesied, exactly what has happened to this man. And what I want to now show the people is I'm the shepherd God has appointed to gather his sheep. What does that mean to you and me? Well, beware of thieves and robbers. You know, it's really important that we discern that spiritual leaders are under shepherds, that is, chosen and trained and appointed by Jesus to lead, teach, protect his people. Thieves and robbers are those who hold out the prospect of a higher or better life apart from the redemption of the blood of Jesus. Does that make sense? In other words, anyone who assumes to teach or preach or care for the people of God, who places a priority above of anything else over the person of God, over the person of Jesus, is actually robbing people of the life that Jesus promised. This may seem obvious, but it's so important. You or someone you know may have been either mistreated or abused or misguided or treated harshly or poorly by someone in spiritual authority. And the consequences are devastating. They can just spread like a virus throughout a church. And so how do we discern false shepherds? Jesus is saying, look, I don't want this to happen to you. Listen to me. Discern if the people are coming through the door, through the way of Jesus. And I would suggest, are they under the authority of the entire Word of God? Not just their favorite verses or the portion they want to preach, but the entire Word of God. And do they preach Christ? One of the things I appreciate about Jamie is he is so singularly focused and locked in on preaching about Jesus. And he preaches the gospel every Sunday. Paul wrote, "Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of his power." How many times have you heard Jamie say, I'm not saying anything new. Have you heard, remember? I'm not saying anything new. If I say something new, you should leave. Because this is so important. Does their life bear the fruit of the Spirit? Are they under the authority of a governing body? Preston Hansen and I were talking with some students yesterday about what it means to worship in the Anglican tradition. And we believe that God appointed people in authority to hold Jamie and I and others report to the bishop. And the bishop to the archbishop. There's a government there that holds people in accountable. And so you should feel a sense of comfort in that. We also have a vestry that helps provide the oversight of the church. And so Jesus tells the crowd and us, beware of thieves and robbers, and listen and look for the true shepherd. So that's the first thing. Second, recognize the true shepherd and hear his voice. Look at verse 2. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. What does that mean? Well, the shepherd, the true shepherd, doesn't have to come in another way. He didn't have to come in by the cover of night or through the back door or over the wall. He just comes in broad daylight because he has the authority. And the gatekeeper, the one assigned to just keep the gate, recognizes him, lets him in. And so, and it's the narrow way. He doesn't force his way past the gatekeeper, and he knows every one of his sheep and calls them by name. Some of you have studied about sheep and shepherds, and one of the commentaries I read said that shepherds actually name their sheep, and they call their name. I think that's the greatest thing ever, right? The shepherd doesn't show up at the sheepfold and go, okay, all of you who are my sheep, just come, let's go, I'm coming. No. Right? He's like, no, Bill, Mary, Catherine, Amy, come, follow me. He calls each one by name, and he brings them out. The shepherd goes before his sheep, and he leads the way. He's the one who goes first, and it is for his namesake. Where does he lead them? Finish this sentence for me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's where he leads his sheep. He leads me beside still waters. That's where the shepherd is leading his sheep, his followers, the one who knows his name, the ones who know his name. And what does that mean for you and me? I've tried to limit my comments to verses 1 through 6 because I know Jamie's going to pick up after I finish, but I have to skip ahead to verse 11 where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He enters by the door, and he does not take shortcuts. Friends, you know that Jesus had the opportunity more than once to take a shortcut. Well, do I really have to? The tempter even tempted Jesus. I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. You can have authority over all this if you just bow down and worship me. He could avoid the cross, but no. Jesus knew that no shortcut really leads to life, does it? It leads to sin and death. And he was obedient all the way to his crucifixion and death. He does not take shortcuts, and he does not take shortcuts. And he goes ahead of us. We worship a God who goes ahead of us, Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. This is one of the things I love about our faith. Our faith is not built on a list of good ideas about justice or equality or freedom, while all those things are important. Our faith is not a list of virtues that I need to somehow attain or acquire. Our faith isn't just a practice of rituals. No, our faith is the foundation in Jesus, the incarnate Word of God who became flesh and blood, bone, and sinew, marrow, and dwelt among us. He is the anointed one whose first miracle was to turn 6 stone jars of water into wine. That's someone I want to follow. Who touched a leper and healed him. Who called a tax collector to be his disciple. Who did not condemn a woman caught in adultery. Who described himself as what? Bread, a door, light, a vine. Who wrapped a towel around his waist, got on his hands and knees, and washed his disciples' feet. The one who saw our sin and guilt and shame and our sentence to death and took our place. That's who we worship. That's who we follow. And because he loves us, he came to pay the price, the ransom for our sin, so we could be set free now and forever. I just talked with someone after the 7:45 service about someone they loved and for whom they care deeply. And they asked me a question. I said, you know, I feel like the person you're describing is not living in the freedom that God came to offer us. It's for freedom we were set free. And so these are the qualities of someone we want to follow. And Jesus is the only one about whom we can say this is absolutely, entirely, and forever true. So what have we said so far? Beware of thieves and robbers. Recognize the true shepherd and hear his voice. And finally, follow him. Look at verse 4. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they flee from him. The sheep follow him. His disciples hear his voice, and for us, we still hear his voice. Jesus is still speaking through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the revelation of his word. We listen for the voice of God through the reading of his word, through meditation, through prayer, through worship, through our place in community, fasting and rest, through service. Jesus is revealing himself to us. We hear and recognize his voice. In her book, Sacred Rhythms, Ruth Haley Barton writes, I cannot transform myself. Has anybody come to that conclusion? But what I can do is create the conditions in which a spiritual transformation can take place by developing and maintaining a rhythm of spiritual practice to keep me open and available to God. Friends, that's all that Jesus is asking. Just hear my voice. Be open and available to hear me. And when you do, follow me. That's our responsibility. And he's leading. We talked about leading us to green pastures, still waters. He's leading us in paths of righteousness for who? His name's sake, for his glory. And he says, if anyone come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Many of us know that verse. We've heard it before. But sometimes I have to ask myself, am I following that verse? Or am I following my version of that verse? What I want life to look like. The way I think it should work, what I expect of people from me, what I expect of God from me, or do I recognize that the Good Shepherd is indeed good and knows me personally and intimately and has my best in mind? I will follow you. Why? Because he promises to supply all of our needs. My God will supply your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, and I can trust him even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I have no reason to fear. We follow him and we flee from strangers. And you would know them. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. You will know them by their fruit. You will know them by their fruit, and you know what that fruit is, the fruit of the Spirit. He is speaking, he is leading, and we follow him and flee from strangers. As I wrap up, I just want to suggest, imagine Jesus speaking this to you now. Not to that crowd, but to you, whatever your station of life is. You might be a student studying for an exam or trying out for the team, a young professional in your first job or trying to find community. You might be single and looking for companionship or married and trying to work through what sacrificial love looks like. A father working long hours or a mother raising children at home. Worried about the future or your job or suddenly unemployed. Living the life you imagined or finding out something's missing. Anxious, lonely, or worried, or at the end of a chapter and thinking, what's next? And I just want you to imagine Jesus saying to you and me, beware of thieves and robbers who want to steal the life from you that I've promised. Learn to recognize me, the one true shepherd, the good shepherd. Hear my voice instead of the hundreds or thousands of voices calling out to you. Don't take a shortcut. It only leads to sin and death. And don't be afraid. Instead, follow me wherever I lead at whatever the cost. And why? Because I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. And I am that life. And I want you to enjoy it with me both now and forever. And so by the grace of God, we recognize the true shepherd. We hear his voice, and we follow him. Amen? Amen. Amen.